We began taking a look at the insertion of the Shema at this point of Birchot HaShachar, the sort of secret Shema. Historical context, according to some, suggests that this was put in place around the year 450 in the Common Era in Bavel, when one of the kings at that time, Isagrid II, in an attempt to promote Zoroastrianism and to eliminate the impact of the notion of the unity of God that Jews proclaim, he had forbidden the recitation of the Shema publicly in Tfilot, and so had sent guards to make sure that no Beit Knesset, no Beit Midrash would be reciting it. As a way, of course, of circumventing this prohibition, the Chachamim found a way, which was the insertion of the Shema. At this point, I mentioned also, it's likely that the insertion of the Shema in the Kedusha of Musaf on Shabbat was also instituted at this time. Interestingly enough, as we know from historical records, this rule only lasted, or the rule of this king lasted only 5 years. He died suddenly. And the Jewish community began to believe this. It was a miracle. His death was a miracle, that he had tried to uproot the recitation of our foundational declaration of faith, and he died young. And so therefore there was a feeling of this was the hand of God. As a result of that, they never eliminated the recitation of Shema from this point in the davening, even though the historical reason for it had disappeared, because the Jews were once again able to recite the Shema in Shul following the death of the king. But there was a sense that this somehow is miraculous. And therefore, to this day, even though the historical reason doesn't apply, the tefillah is still here. Now, there is another reason, perhaps, why the Shema is inserted here and why it still occupies an important place in Birchot HaShachar. And that has more to do with halakha than it does with history. We know, according to the Mishnah and halakha, that you only have to the end of the third hour of the day to fulfill your mitzvah reciting the Shema. And following that, the time is gone. Whatever recitation you do is no longer a fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's, as it were, reading a section of the Torah. You get a mitzvah studying Torah, but not for the specific mitzvah of reciting the Shema. So there's an interesting question here. In all the Sidurim you'll see published, when it says Shema Yisrael, you'll notice, obviously, in the smaller font, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed, and some Sidurim, Art Scroll being one of them, will have the first paragraph of the Shema. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch Simen Mem Vav, which deals with Birchot HaShachar, at the very end of Simen Mem Vav, the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserlish, rules that when you recite the Shema here, Tov Lomar Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. It's good to say Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto. It's good to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto when you're a little boy and a little girl. That's how you say the Shema. It's always followed by Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto. What do you mean, Tov Lomar? So the implication from the Shulchan Aruch is that there may be a recitation which is not followed by Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto. And the Mishnah Berurah here tells us to fulfill the requirement of the recitation of Kriyat Shema, not only do you have to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, but you have to follow it with Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. And that if you don't, says the Mishnah Berurah, then it's just like you're telling a story. It's not the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Is there more to state the requirement for, is there more for that? So Rabbi Yudana see in the Mishnah says, no, just say this pasuk, Shema Yisrael. But although Rabbi Yudana see is a significant opinion, most of the opinions say that's not sufficient. And what is required to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? Shema, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto, and Ve'ahavta Et Hashem Elokecha. So, why am I fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema here? The Ramah includes the words of the Tur, which is what? Because sometimes when you go to shul and you're davening, it takes longer than you want, it takes longer than expected, And as a result of that, when you actually get to the place in Davening to recite Kriya Shema, you're past the time. It's past the third hour. So you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah because you've passed the time. And so should that be a concern, that's why we insert the Kriya Shema at this point in the beginning of Davening. So that should you be Davening somewhere where it's taking too long, Chas v'Shalom, you should miss the opportunity to do the mitzvah, recite it here. The Vilna Gaon really opposed this because he felt the recitation of the Kriya Shema, as the Mishnah teaches us, should be preceded by davening, two brachot, and then followed by a bracha. You don't just sort of recite it in a vacuum and say, okay, I've done the mitzvah. The mitzvah was constructed and put inside the shacharit in a certain way. And the Vilna Gaon says that's the way to do it. And one should try, to the extent possible, always to recite Kriya Shema that way. But should you be davening somewhere, maybe they start davening late, and you're not sure that you'll be able to actually reach the point in davening, so you will recite Kriya Shema in the context of the proper davening at the proper time, then we recite it here. And some say that if you are going to miss davening, if you are going to miss saying Kriya Shema at the proper time, and you are going to say it at this point, then in fact, you should obviously say Shema. You have to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto, but you should be reciting all three paragraphs of the Shema, not just the one that's listed here. Yes, louder, Andrew. Well, then, how do they determine which paragraphs should be included in the Shema? That's the Mishnah. So that's clear. The Mishnah just tells us that there is a time limit. When do you start saying Kriya Shema, and up until when do you have time to say Kriya Shema? So we know that there's a time limit. And so therefore, should there be a concern for the recitation in the proper manner, then we insert it here. So there's a historical reason, maybe to sort of circumvent the anti-Semites who wanted to remove from us the opportunity, but there's also a lachic reason, completely different. And perhaps that's what the Rama was getting at. If the reason for reciting it is just to mark a period of history, then maybe we don't have to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto, because it's not really Shema, it's just a piece of history. But if, should we be using it here for the reason of to fulfill a mitzvah, then for sure we do. The Mishnah Berurah rules that at this point in our history, no matter what the purpose is, whenever we say the Kriya Shema, whether we say the first line, the whole thing, we always follow it with Baruch Shem Kevot Malchuto Le'olam Va'et. Rabbi Hanani ben Akashi Omer, Atzak Adash Baruch Hu, L'Sakot Yisrael L'Fichach, Hirba Lehem Torah Mitzvot Shenomar, Adonai Chafetz Leman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir Rabbanan Kaddish. Gadol V'Kadash, Shmei Rabbah, Doma divra chirutei v'yamlich malchutei v'chayichon v'yomichon v'chayei d'cho be Yisrael v'adolav izman kariv imru, amen. Yehei shemei rabah mivorach olam ulmei umaya v'itbarach v'ishtabach v'itpa'ar v'itramam v'itnasei v'ihadar v'itale v'ithalal shmeidu l'sha berichu la'ela min kol birchata v'shirata tush bechata v'nechamata. Damiram Bama Vimru, Amen. All Israel, Rabbanan, Val Tami Dehon, Vokol Tami Dehon, Valkomadoskin be Oraita, Divrata, Dane, the whole Atar, the Atar. Yehei, Lohon, Lohon, Shlom Rabba, in a Chist of Rachamim, the Hain, Arikin, and his neighbor be paid. Kana, Mikadam, a wondish my Vara Vimru, Amen. Yehei Shalom Rabba Mishamaya V'chaim Tovim Oleinu V'akwa Yisrael V'imru Amen. Shalom V'imru Mahu Shalom Oleinu V'akwa Yisrael V'imru Amen. Thanks.